Hello, friends of Auroville Radio. We're sitting here with Professor Thomas Greco, and in the hope of exploring a little further some of the many questions that have been discussed, we hope to analyze in brief the idea of the transformation from a money-dependent economy to a money-creating economy. Professor, am I putting it in the right words, or should I be using other words?
Well, I think that's a good way to start. The point is, we want money to be our servant and not our master. And Mother said something to the effect of, there should be no money in Auroville. And I think it's vital that we have a proper interpretation of what that means. If she meant conventional money, I fully agree with her. Conventional money, the way it's structured, is very corrosive to the social relationships among people. And it actually is a mechanism for pumping wealth from the poor and the middle class to the people at the upper echelon who control the whole system. So I would say, yes, definitely we ought to try to eliminate conventional money from Auroville. In our dealings with the outside world, of course, we have to accept that because that's the medium of exchange that people have. On the other hand, with regard to the internal operations, there is this ideal of a completely communal economic system where people give what they have to offer and they receive what they need. That's a nice goal to strive for, the total gift economy. However, the question is, can we get there in one leap? Is it possible for us at this stage to realize that kind of an economy, even within an enclave like Auroville? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But if we look at historical experience in that regard, the only places where we've seen that kind of economy succeed has been in monasteries and religious communities. And even there, most of those communities have not had an adequate economic foundation for self-reliance. They have had to depend on charity from the outside. Maybe that's okay in the short run for Auroville to depend on inputs from the outside. But I would think that eventually, in order to realize the full scope of the vision and the ideals that were put forth initially, Auroville has to become more self-reliant economically. And that means entrepreneurship has to be encouraged. It means that production has to be increased, especially production for internal consumption. Jane Jacobs, in her books, one of which is Cities and the Wealth of Nations, points out that cities are the salient economic entities and that it's cities where the creative activity takes place that allows for economic advancement. And it's not only a matter of quantitative output, it's a matter of quality, producing new things that make life more interesting, more fun, easier, less drudgery. And so if Auroville aspires to be a city, then I think it has to embrace diversity in terms of economic approaches. And so I would propose that while there may be a core group who would establish themselves in a gift economy, that there should also be allowance for reciprocal exchange within the community. Not using conventional money, because that has a number of parasitic elements attached to it, but by monetizing your own credit, trusting one another to reciprocate, so that you give as much as you get, and you get as much as you give.
Could that be somehow formalized in the form of a credit card, given the new electronic situation, and sort of think that this credit card could be filled with what you give and slowly drawn with what you need?
Absolutely. There are a number of ways that it can be managed. Ideally, we would manage it with a set of accounts, just like you have a bank account or a credit card account. You could have a card that would access a database so that when you make an exchange with someone or in one of the shops within Oroville and you make a purchase, your account would be debited. Likewise, there would be mechanisms for crediting your account when you make a sale to one of your fellow Orovillians or when you have an allocation from one of the funds. So you would have a combination checking account, credit card, and debit card. And this, I look forward to this being implemented not only at the local level of a city like Oroville, but also at the global level. Imagine instead of carrying around a Visa card or a MasterCard, you had an Oro card. And your Oro card allowed you to debit your account when you make a purchase, or your Oro card allowed you to show your identity and gain access to material resources, goods and services. Likewise, in the course of your employment, whatever that might be, your payment for doing what you do would be deposited as a credit to that account.
How would you see that functioning in the service sector? Because if you produce something that has a value, that then you know that you've sold that. But in the service sector, it's more a question of negotiating the value of that service, which can be subjective to who wants to accept that at that value. Who would set the standards, and how would you go about setting the standards?
Are you talking about prices?
Well, that which we consider an exchange. Someone, I don't know, working, let's say myself, working on the radio, would I receive then a salary on a monthly basis, which would then, and who would establish the value of my working for the radio and how many hours? And I guess you'd have to go back to some kind of formula, or would you get a work description that would then include X amount for each hour? How would you see that in a practical term?
Well, the most practical way for establishing prices is free market operations. I think the free market provides a lot of discipline for people. When you offer a service or a good, it doesn't matter which, you're offering it to your fellows in the community. And you have to negotiate what price is going to be applied to a transaction.
So we keep the free market because that is necessary.
Yeah, I think so. And a certain amount of competition is valuable, because if I have the choice of employing you, let's say, as a massage therapist, or one of 10 other massage therapists in the community, the patronage that goes to each one is a reflection of how that service is valued.
Okay.
So some may be getting more business, some may be getting less, and that's a reasonable thing, that people go to the source that they consider to be most valuable, that provides the most value for their expenditure, whether it's in conventional money or community money.
Okay, so what we were saying, and I think if I've understood correctly, that you would remove the paper money, as we've already done in a way in Oroville. We would establish that each one can set his value, and when he finds someone that accepts that, that gets registered the moment that exchange happens in
right.
the form of an electronic signal that goes to a database.
Right. Now, you might have an electronic device at each point of sale. This is practical for a retail establishment. It may not be practical for a service-oriented business like a chiropractor or massage therapist. In that case, you could simply use a paper check mm-hmm. or a paper voucher that says, I have received this service, and we have agreed on a price of so many oros, if you want to use that as the value unit internally. And then those papers, like a check, would be deposited in the center that keeps the records and added to your account.
Okay.
So that's the way of increasing your account balance for services.
So you technically don't see it very complicated. Do you think that emotionally, socially, and at the stage of consciousness at which Oroville, you have found it, and maybe in the discussions you've had, do you think it's ready to make this jump, and do you see ways of accelerating it?
Well, I certainly think, based on what I've seen during the past week, that Oroville is ready to make this this move. What seems to be the biggest impediment is what I consider to be a misunderstanding of mother's intentions. And so people have to look deeper into this question of how to mediate exchange and whether it is practical to have the whole city on the basis of a gift economy at this stage.
Okay.
Or whether we need to establish our own reciprocal exchange mechanism using our own internal credit.
Would you also see the possibility, in let's say in the industrial zone, to have sort of a possibility of joint ventures with the outside and try to establish criteria both legal and internally functioning to the sense of money that allows our link with outside groups that might want to take participations in Auroville businesses? That has to be flexible, don't you think?
Yes, I think it would be very desirable to get outside businesses involved in a mutual credit clearing process, because the credit clearing process becomes more valuable the more debits and credits can be cleared. And this means that you have to involve all levels of the supply chain, not only retailers, but also wholesalers and manufacturers and basic commodity producers, and ultimately the employees that work in each one of those levels. So that completes the whole economic circuit. You know, if a retailer is going to accept a community credit as payment, he wants to be able to use it to pay his supplier, and his supplier is a wholesaler. And if the wholesaler is going to accept it, he wants to be able to pay his supplier, who's a manufacturer. And if the manufacturer is going to accept it, he wants to be able to pay his supplier, which is a basic commodity producer, like a miner or a forester or a farmer.
So it's a question of trust and acceptance and belief in that mechanism that has to be widespread and not have any situations where it would lead the other one not to accept because he doesn't believe in it or trust it. Is that it?
Well, it's more than just belief and trust. The belief and trust has to be based on something. Okay. It's how can I use it?
Okay.
If I'm going to accept this form of payment, I've got to be able to use it to pay my expenses.
Okay.
That's why I say the retailer is going to want the wholesaler to accept it so that he can pay for his supplies. And the wholesaler is going to want the manufacturer to accept it so that he can pay for his source of supplies, and so on. So as this thing achieves a sufficient scale, it will be more useful as a way of substituting credit clearing for conventional money.
Okay.
So I see it as a gradual process, that as credit clearing circles become larger and organized into more extensive networks, credit clearing will become more prevalent and conventional money will become less prevalent. And you could envision eventually the possibility that conventional money would be used only rarely for the payment of taxes to the government and perhaps for international trade.
One last question and then I'll let you go. Do you think it would be wise and interesting to explore contacts with structures that we have said are in some way the evil doers of the use of money, which are banks? But if we got a bank, an enlightened bank, because there are enlightened bankers, to believe in the process and somehow put their strength behind it, and they could become sort of the guarantee for the outside internally, and it could also lead for them to experiment into what could certainly be a new way of looking at money. Do you think that that would be useful for Auroville to research within that realm?
I don't rule out anything. I think if we can find bankers who are interested in improving the banking product and the monetary system, we should certainly engage them in discussions. It's always possible that certain measures could be taken using existing infrastructure. And certainly bankers have a lot of experience in evaluating risk, in managing risk, and in determining the suitability of certain projects for funding. So, yes, bankers could be very helpful in that regard. It's questionable as to whether a conventional bank would be willing or able to establish a parallel credit clearing process. They may not be allowed by law or by the banking regulators to do it. I'm doubtful about that. But who knows?
So we could do without those type of institutions, or would we need them?
Well, we are, in a way, recreating money and banking. And the processes that go on within the banking establishments, many of those processes will have to be continued. But what we want to do is to separate the wheat from the chaff. Okay. We want to carry over those useful functions and eliminate the ones that are dysfunctional.
Well, Professor, thank you very much, and we hope that you can come back and lay down the stepping stones for the future in that sense, because I'm sure, as you've heard Olivier's presentation today, and you've seen maybe and heard about the Portus experiment, there's still much to be done, and we need an enormous amount of help and reflection on this difficult problem. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.